You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
Just like other people. We love to sing, we love to dance, we admire beautiful women. We're human. And sometimes.
Oh.
Very human.
Very. Good evening, everybody. It's 7 o'clock on the dock, on the nose, zenlive.tv. This is the same week. At 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to be testing our first YouTube streams. But, got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. The Skype is on now, so you can Skype in at any time. Zen Live TV. It's pretty much the URL that you're hanging out right now, unless you're on Periscope, which is the first time that we're doing the Periscope at the same time. We've got to keep doing this. So keep it on going, man. Keep it on. Okay, Skype is now on. Now, we have a couple of things we have to get around to tonight, right off the bat, because I want to have some fun. I want to chill. First of all, something very weird happened. I had something. Matt, Mike, you know how in my backyard, I laced up one of those trees with Christmas lights? One of the cords was cut today. I went out there just to hang out in the backyard a little bit. I was on like a lunch break. And I saw that a section of the cord was taken out. It wasn't a squirrel. They're kind of clean cuts, but it's not like it was just severed. Two parts were severed, so an entire section was out, and it was just on the floor. Something very fucking weird is going on. Just wanted to mention that. I don't know what the hell it was. It's got to be a human. It has to be human mischief, but... Demogorgon? I can't hear you. I heard Demogorgon. That microphone doesn't work. That microphone's shit. Okay, so moving on. Here's the first thing I want to get around to. All right, and if you're watching right now on Periscope, welcome. Get into the chat room on zenlive.tv and call in. Last night when we spoke about the standard, we were talking about Ebola a little bit there, because I was bringing up the whole thought of having standards and quarantines, and how quarantines and travel bans were immediately called xenophobic and hateful and reactionary and all that. And, you know, even though people's insides were being turned into stew by the Ebola virus, okay, people were just melting away in Africa, and we had a couple of cases where it came over here. Thankfully, nothing else happened. But the whole point here is having standards, whether it be through immigration, whether it be through taking in or vetting of refugees or taking them in at all, no matter what the key is there, if there's any kind of life and death risk that is posed to the populace of a certain nation, that's the reason why you have standards. And you don't have those standards fluctuate for any reason, or else you set precedents and you allow people to attack doing or not doing something for being, you know, xenophobic or racist or any of the other stupid bullshit that drives people to lay commentary down on things. And to say, oh, look, all these months later, nobody got Ebola. The whole country's still here. Isn't that fantastic? It's like, yeah, but that's just like, okay, hindsight's 20/20. You know, that's just luck. At that point, you're playing with fire there. Well, in either case, the reason why I bring this up, state admits Islamic State terrorists trying to pose as refugees. Once again, we know this already from the CIA, the FBI, multiple office holders and appointees over there at multiple Homeland Security department offices. All saying it's not a maybe, it's a guarantee. The refugee population is being infiltrated and will continue to be infiltrated, and we don't have the vetting, the proper vetting to know for sure. So with that being said, and this just came out again today, this comes from the people. I just want to bring this up because I didn't bring it up last night. I understand that when I do a broadcast, sometimes the thoughts don't get completed because we go off on so many tangents. But what I wanted to complete from last night is this is coming from the people. You know, we've done this on the air before. We've done the numbers on the air before many times. So the throwaway number was 15 to 25% of, if we're going to just talk about terrorism and Islamic terrorism and the total population taken from the radicalized population, not the population that would be okay with it, but would not be good with actually pulling the trigger, but the total population and then the radicalized population. Let's say some people say 15 to 25% is a nice numbered range to live around to get the true picture of what's going on. But let's just say it's just 20%. 20% of the 680,000 who have already been let into the country. 680,000. And under Hillary Clinton's first term in office, it's already been said that at least 1.5 million, at least 1 to 1.5 million more refugees will be brought in. Now, there's a couple of questions we have to ask ourselves with this. A couple of questions that I ask myself that I want to see what you guys think. And so please get ready to call in after we get these points out there. 20% of 680,000 is 136,000. 5% is 34,000. 0.01% of 680,000 is 6,800. 0.01%. So what I'm trying to figure out here is who gets to say, what politician from any party gets to say that we're bringing in a population of people that is, that yes, the vast majority are good, harmless people, but they're being infiltrated by a radical sect of their religion, of the overall whole's religion. Who gets to say to 6,800 people, okay, 6,800 people that are going out there and are hell-bent on killing somebody else, let's say just one of them, each of them killed one person each, okay, 6,800 people who have now been lost, whoever gets to say that we need to take that risk, that 6,800 people must die for this cause over here in the United States? Who really gets to say what lives get to be lost or what probabilities we must accept? Who gets to say that? Now you can say, well, it's the least we can do. The people did not cause the problems in the Middle East. The same politicians who are bringing them in caused the problems in the Middle East. The same system that they're slaves to caused the problems in the Middle East. We have to accept the probability of death. The Europeans have to accept the probability of death and cultural clashes like we're seeing right now. We have to accept that because of the people who actually caused the problem. Those same people who are telling you if we can only save one life when it comes to the nonstop campaign in the country to disarm everybody. The people who say those same things, we can just save one life, despite the proof that, you know, doesn't matter. They obviously don't want to save one life. They're willing to offer up more than 6,000. These are the things that are not adding up for me. It's not about me not being charitable or being any less of a humanitarian or a human in general. Just human. It's not anything about that. It's about this does not add up. Narratives don't add up with actions. There's no logical consistency here. It does not make any sense. I understand why progressive globalist, you know, agents that we have all throughout our government, in every state, I understand why they would want open borders. I understand that. You know, in every respect, people coming over the southern border are, you know, mostly Christian, if you're going to talk about religious. And you know, whereas there is crime and there's human trafficking going on, a lot of abuse, a lot of murder, drugs, weapons, a lot of things that are coming over the border, and what you have to expect when you have an open border and no real immigration system that's working for a country, you have to expect it. It's not a racist thing. It would just happen, period. Especially when the countries they're fleeing from are socialist hellholes that are in the middle of their own meltdowns. We being the only ones who can print funny money and keep ourselves afloat a little bit faster. But while our money still has a little bit of value, a little bit of strength, a little bit of standing in the world economy, and since the people that are in charge of the government right now want so desperately to do away with this representation bullshit and want to do away with federalism and want to do away with all of this this small government pipe dream. They want to do away with it all quickly. They're importing the masses. We understand that. That I can rationalize a little bit more. It makes sense. The cozying up with terrorists, that does not make any sense. And that is when it starts getting scary for me. When you can't make sense of something that is so dangerous, there's got to be something there that, well, of course, the people who are doing it, they've got their ulterior motives, but they're also the ones who have the day and night, around the clock protection. They've got the Secret Service agents. They're well armed. They've got personal security detail. Okay? This is the problem. We're talking about Mask of the Red Death stuff here. We're living out Edgar Allan Poe. They think that they can go off into their desert hideaway and protect themselves, but you know, what are you running from? You've caused this problem. So that's what I want to say. If you can just save one life. Doesn't make sense to me. And here is, you know, and you want to talk about, but we're vetting them. This is ABC News a couple days ago. You've probably all heard this. September 19th, more than 800 immigrants mistakenly granted citizenship. The U.S. government has mistakenly granted citizenship to at least 858 immigrants from countries of concern to national security or with high rates of immigration fraud who had pending deportation orders, according to an internal Homeland Security audit released on Monday. So, one last time, what is the plan? Call in, let me know what is the plan if that is the case. We know why these globalists, wolf in sheep's clothing types, they want open borders. We know it. They want to change the electorate. Right, we get it out of the way. They deny the drugs, the violence, and the disease, and the human trafficking that comes along over that border, along with otherwise harmless people. They deny that, yes, because they need to keep their racist narratives alive. But still, they're coming over because they've been invited. They have been invited. It's not their fault. If you were living in places like Venezuela and parts of Mexico and everything's tanking and you want to get the fuck out and the welcome mat has been rolled out in a welfare state paradise in the United States, you wouldn't go for your life and the life of your kids? Of course, there's no denying why you would go. It's just that it's being done on purpose, and it's not for humanitarian reasons. Everybody's got to stop this left-right Democrat-Republican standoff there. Another standoff that could be easily wiped away clean if somebody would just come out and say it, hold a press conference, but they're not doing that because even though they have their differences in tie color, that's it. They wear different color ties. That's the only fucking thing that sells them apart. So because they have their differences in tie color, everybody thinks that there's actually a difference. But there's not. They're not. Because this could be completely put away. Put to bed easily. So the refugees seem to be another source of importing chaos, though. That's what gets me. I know they're importing voters from south of the border. But this refugee crisis looks like the importation of chaos. And why is that? You know, it's more direct action. You import foreigners, the citizens who have zero representation in the matter, were talked down to, were forced to pay the cost, and then were sold falsehoods about the life or death risks. They tell us every day what is not dangerous, what is dangerous, what's not dangerous, what is dangerous. You're freaking out, you're not freaking out, you're racist, you're this and that. But they are, we're being sold a bad bill of goods about the real life or death risks here. And Alex Plitzis, when he comes on the air, he would say that the government is too incompetent to put together some kind of a scheme like that. But maybe it's that incompetency that's also a great cover for that scheming and that conspiring in places like the DNC and with all their globalist sponsors. I know that what they're doing is legal, but there's other things that work in their advantage. And that incompetency is a great cover. Because they get what they want anyway, you know what I mean? Either they get the change in culture and the voting base. They're always going to get that either way. They're changing the culture and the voting base. Okay, when I say culture, I'm not talking about white people and Hispanic people and European descendants and everybody in their different cultures. I'm talking about the culture of individual liberty, the freedom, federalism, limited government, that type of culture. It doesn't matter what color people are. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't care if I was in the minority, if we were living in that culture. I don't give a shit. Culture, it has nothing to do. People don't understand. They say they're changing the culture. Everybody thinks that what? What? That we want everybody to be doing line dances somewhere? Line dancing? We're afraid that the line dancing is going to stop? That the rodeos are going to stop? Who the fuck? I don't give a fuck. Nobody gives a shit. We just want to be left alone. But, you know, where there are missteps and where there is terror and where there is upheaval, there's also opportunity to grow the police state. And that's something else I wanted to bring up tonight, which if you guys call in the number, well, the Skype, let me put this on the screen right now. If you're on ZenLive.tv, Skype is ZenLive.tv. There you go. So the police state, that leads me to Charlotte. Now, I think it's funny that certain news outlets are calling the rioting, protesting. I think that's hilarious, but should be expected. 16 cops injured so far. Walmart and other locations looted. Cars, other private property destroyed. People screaming, all white cops, all white people are the fucking devil, this and that. We understand what's coming out, what's coming off of the streets. We know people are angry. Understand that. Hillary Clinton, though. In so many words, Hillary Clinton says, I'm going to talk to white people. I'm going to talk to white people. In so many words, she says, this is outrageous. You know what? Let me talk to the white people and see if I can work something out with this racist policing. In so many words, that's what she has said. As if whites aren't 49% of cop-related deaths year in, year out. Okay? We understand the narrative is that we're focusing in on the disproportionate amount of blacks that are being killed in regard to their percentage of the population. I understand that. But we have an across-the-board police problem, policing problem, policy problem. Police are the enforcers of policy. And this is the thing that gets me, because it comes back around. I don't even want to talk about the rioting and the looting and all that stuff. It's just becoming the new norm. You forget about all the places that have been that there's rioting at, because it's just, okay, I guess that's happening again. You know, it doesn't even hit you hard unless it's in your backyard. And the thing that gets me is this. This is why I keep saying that the Black Lives Matter era of tracking the police state and monitoring the police state and the hashtag police state, hashtag stay woke. The Black Lives Matter era of monitoring the growth of the police state and the actions thereof has destroyed everything. Everything that people like, people that are watching this show right now, that we've all been doing over the years, trying to tell people there's something wrong, right up until the point where we actually saw the martial law type of games that were being played in Boston during the marathon bombing incidents. We saw all that, we started freaking out. We're like, police state, police, everybody like, stop with the conspiracy theories. Then all of a sudden, it takes on this. And disproportionate amount of blacks being incarcerated and killed by police was on the agenda, on the docket, something that people... I mean, look at people like Rand Paul, how he's been talking about the drug war, the real impact of the drug war for how long. Both Pauls have been doing that for a long time. Look into the people who have been talking about and trying to be raising awareness of the police state for years now. Look into them and what they've been saying far before Mike Brown was shot in Ferguson. Far before. Because now what do we have here? What do we have? It's been purely made into a race issue now. It's impossible to get anyone to talk about anything deeper than that. You have got to, admit that. It's impossible to because to even offer up, the idea that it's much bigger than this one racial aspect of the problem is to be called racist and to be white-splaining things. See the problem? That's a fucking problem. And what do you know? Who swooped in to co-opt and steer the movement? The same big government globalist bastards who caused all of this bit by bit every year. Progressives, one after another, with the regulation, not knowing, not grasping. When everybody says, well, you know, it's taxation at the point of a gun. Oh, nobody's coming to your house. Oh, yeah? If you don't go, if you don't pay your taxes, somebody pays you a visit. Okay? When they pay you a visit, you're either served or not, whatever it is, they come find you. You don't go to your court date, they come find you. You resist arrest, the end is they will accelerate, they will go, and they will bring force to a level where it can escalate right to the point of death. That's the whole point of government. It's enacting through force. That nuance is lost to people when you say through force, through force, through force, and like, oh, yeah, stop it, stop it, stop it. Well, Eric Garner was selling a Lucy cigarette, and force was escalated until things happened that led to his death. You can say he was in bad shape, and you can say this and that, and the chokehold didn't cause it, and whatever. If it wasn't for the confrontation with the cops because of the cigarette, it wouldn't have gone there. This is very, very nuanced stuff. And these leftist progressive types, they in the big cities, that want to make sure that everything you do is not done without permission. They don't understand that it causes... It creates opportunities for people to interact with government agents, the police being one of them. It's a big problem and something that's lost to it. And once again, another good shot at trying to make a point and trying to have change really be made, even if it's just a shift in consciousness, because we know changing things in government, that takes forever if at all. But a really good shot at change has once again been stifled, destroyed. Occupy Wall Street was completely destroyed by the George Soros types, the Marxist types, make with their stupid fucking communist demands and all that shit. Just didn't know. That was no organization there. It all gets co-opted and deflected away so that the people who are causing the problems can incubate themselves and build a cocoon of safety around themselves while everybody else destroys themselves. And they come out like the beautiful butterfly with all the answers and say, yes, yes, please, help us. Meanwhile, I don't know. Call on in if you want to talk. Zen Live TV. You know, I'm listening to this music in the background. This is As Good As It Gets. It's from the As Good As It Gets soundtrack. It is my favorite movie of all time. And I'm nervous about the switch to YouTube because playing these types of songs are going to get us flagged. They are. What's going on there? Oh, I'm the racist, somebody just told me. I'm the racist. Call on in, tell me why. But As Good As It Gets, I'm not going to be able to play this stuff on YouTube. So I started building up a royalty-free music playlist for the first show that we do on YouTube. Man, I don't know. I mean, I guess it goes by, but these song picks are very, very special to me. I like them. I can't give that away. YouTube has got to evolve a little bit. This is ridiculous. Yeah, they're going to evolve. Let's go on a really quick break, everybody. When we come back, we'll get into the second half of the show and have some fun and relax. And if you have anything to say, please, by all means, call on in. Love to hear from you.
Entertainment Network on ZenLive.tv.
Whoops. All right, everybody. So now, let's get into the chat room. Get into the chat room now. Gadget Doc, Nikki, Jenny Lee, Johnny Broom, Just a Babysitter. Good to see you again, Perry. Murr, good to have you with us. Bunch of people who are watching but not in the chat room, please join us. That was great on Periscope for the first time. I was having fun with that. I was told I was the racist. So I guess I wasn't getting the nuance. But guys, have I been making sense so far tonight? Because I know the tangents we go on must be obnoxious sometimes. Because when I listen back on the show, if I feel like I wanted to go back and just listen to how a certain conversation developed, I always notice, I was like, okay, I always write down, you got to finish that point tomorrow night. You got to finish that point tomorrow night. Because certain points just don't get finished. I'm like a dog chasing cars sometimes. So, I mean, by all means, call in if you ever see me not go back and finish a point. You guys have to be my hallway monitors and my buddies. Please be my buddy. Nikki says, Frank always makes sense. You know what? I got to go check the mail downstairs to see if people who are part of this show's 1776 Club wrote back to me yet. I didn't check last week. They don't have to write back. You 1776ers on Patreon. Hold on, Matt. Go ahead, Matt. No, go ahead.
All have to write back.
What the hell you got?
Four. I'll leave.
Oh, four. Go ahead.
If they don't write you back, I'll show up to their house and I'll make sure they write you back. I'll watch them. I'll stare at them till they write you a letter.
I'd like to make a video about that. That'd be great to have a video where you actually go out to people's.
I'll just stare at them. If they don't let me in the house, I'll just stare through one window. I'll just stay there till I see them deliver a telegram.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Hey, you know what, Gadget Doc? You know what we should do, Gadget Doc? You should be, like, in control of somebody should be in control of the Twitter while I'm on air. Like, tweeting out on my behalf. Somebody I trust.
I don't think you want me tweeting on social media
no,
for you.
No, because I've seen what you send to senators and congressmen. Right. Holy shit. That was like one of the first weeks that Matt hung out with us. He showed us what he sent to some representative or something like that. And my God.
Jim Turner.
Well, you don't have to say his, whatever. But yeah.
Gave him a piece of my mind. He's probably dead now anyway. He's already an old man. That was like, it was a while ago.
Weren't you calling him a commie and stuff like that?
Yeah, communist. I said people should show up to his house and drag him to jail.
Oh, God.
I might have said something about him and his family dying and shit.
Oh, see, I don't condone any of that stuff. You've got to stop yourself before you get to that point,
man.
That
was a long time ago. I don't say that to people anymore now. I just think it in my head.
Oh, so there you go. All right, so just remember that, everybody. Oh, Matt, what's going to happen when we're broadcasting and we don't have this awesome music playing? Listen to this, dude.
What if you just...
This is Last Tango in Paris. I started going through all these really chill Parisian, Western European type of sounding songs.
What if you just played a YouTube playlist? If you're on YouTube, you can't do that?
That's where I'm playing it off a YouTube playlist right now.
But I'm saying you can't do that on YouTube?
No, what's the difference?
I don't know. You said you can't play this.
It's just the audio. The broadcasting of audio that has been copyrighted is a problem. And I even called them up. We have a few reps at Google now. That's one of the perks. And I got to get into a hangout with one of our reps out there. And I asked her. I said, you know, if we go and we get all of our PRO situations leveled out, if we get ASCAP and BMI and CSAC all current and all that stuff, if we come in with our own licenses for this music... You know, is there any way that we can log that with YouTube? Any kind of place in our account that we can put that in so we don't have to be fighting off these takedowns? Because we got to go to YouTube. That's where all the crowd is going to be. And with our regularity on there, I really think we're going to get noticed. And I think that we have good enough conversations here that people will start coming around. Nobody's on Ustream looking for video. Nobody. They had a chance to make Ustream into something like that, and they just decided that the wind was blowing in a different direction. So, I mean, we got to do what we have to do. We're 10 years into this. The stars are aligning. Let's go, boys. You know? So, there's that.
Stars are aligning, Francis. You're correct. And soon the Sturgeon Moon will be upon us.
You're talking just like those letters that are left on my
I'm
car
just
now.
I'm saying what it said. The Sturgeon Moon is forthcoming.
You're talking... Oh, that's what it said? Because I don't remember it saying forthcoming.
I don't... Do you think I remember what it said? I don't even remember what I said 2 minutes ago.
That's true. You do have that defense. You do. You could...
I remember shit from years and years and years and years ago, but...
Yo, listen to this song.
I already forgot what I just said before that.
This song reminds me... Okay, this is Eastern Sun and John Kelly, Rapture at Sea. This song, this is the reason why I broadcast over songs like this. This song, back around, you remember that PlayStation 2 game? It's MVP 2005 baseball with Manny Ramirez on it.
All right, yeah, this was in that.
Dude, MVP 2000, yeah. No, this was not it.
Are you sure?
No, I'll tell you a song that was in it, though. Hold on, MVP.
Why does that song sound?
I don't know. Because I played all the time.
Not...
Here's a song that was on that. Hold on.
I guess, Frank, you got me. I didn't hear it in the game.
No. You'll see a song that was in it, though. Let me see. Honest Mistake. The Bravery.
Honest Mistake. I didn't mean to.
This song was in MVP 2005. You remember this? This was the main song.
Did I have this? Who's that? Elvis Presley? What's on now?
The Bravery is a little... I don't know.
Come on, that's Elvis. That's not Elvis when he's famous.
See, this is what this show needs to be. We need to be able to watch a music video like Beavis and Butthead.
I don't think I had this one, will you? 2006? I don't think I had this one.
It was 2005, so this probably came out in 2004. Yep. Here, listen to the chorus. You know? What'd you say, Mike?
I said your show never be the same without this type of music and videos and stuff. What are you going
to
do?
My show's never going to be the same again.
What are you going
to
do?
Well, in either case, when I used to play MVP 2005, that was the first game I ever played on a player-to-player network. So it was the first time I ever got the PlayStation modem working for something. And then, of course, shortly afterwards, I was playing SOCOM with everybody in college. So there was that. We probably were all... It was probably around the same time, actually. But... this song, Eastern Sun, was playing a lot on Sirius XM. Well, at that time, just Sirius. And I was listening to the Chill Station a lot for the first time, and this was on there. And this was playing all the time, because I was just I just got Sirius that year, too, in 2005, because Howard Stern had moved over. And I followed Stern.
That goddamn Howard Stern.
Yeah, motherfucker.
I'd still be in radio.
And this would just play, man, and I would just be in my room, just playing, you know, against people, all night playing baseball.
Getting MVP. Pissed off.
It was great. No, no, I wasn't getting pissed off. Oh, yeah, there's sometimes. I hated people.
Wait, PlayStation 2 was, you could play online?
Yeah, but but the modem was big and bulky. You had to, like, slip an entire piece into the back. It was an attachment.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah,
so the cable went back there.
It was PlayStation 3 was the first one to have the modem internal. I think there might have been some internals for PS2, but no. It was the first one with a modem.
Let me plug into your modem, bro.
Give me that modem, bro.
Bro, search your floppy disk.
Yeah.
Yeah, stick it in, bro.
Well, there's that. Right. See? So the musical picks of this show are very, very important. Okay? There's a coziness to it. You know how many cozy nights I had in that bedroom? Lots of them.
How many times did you rope?
A roping was done.
That's a hilarious question. It was great. Wait, what, you mean at like one time or how many individual roping sessions?
How many roping sessions in one night,
bro? Matt, let's put it this way, Matt. Frank used to work double time.
He used to rope, he used to double dutch it.
At the docks.
Tying up those boats, bro.
Yeah, I used to work at the docks.
Roper.
I'd rope all the time. All over the boats.
I used to work at the docks, too. I used to
throw
bait
the ropes.
I used to bait the hooks for the fishermen.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where
at Rye Beach. At the end of the first summer, dude, I was so good at baiting. I was a fucking master baiter, bro.
Oh.
That's what my boat
You set us
bait.
Up that whole time.
That was actually what my boat wanted name I wanted to.
Why well, couldn't I have known?
Masturbator?
Masturbator.
Yo, we should buy that boat. Yo, Frank, I gotta show you this picture, dude.
No.
It's a picture of his...
It's a picture of this boat, and there's just, like, this dude with a dick, and he's...
What?
He's trying to sell it, and he comes with the boat. He'll clean it with for you, and he just has to live in the boat.
Yeah, it's a weird deal. And Matt's
and
trying
he
to
just
fucking
likes
finagle.
To walk around with his dick.
I don't know why Matt's trying to finagle. It just seems like...
This sounds like
a
nightmare.
There's a boat. Nah, there's a nice boat that I can get for real cheap.
Okay.
If you get it for $500.
Yeah, go ahead. Get the boat. Tell us about it. Tell us when you get it, and we're going to go.
All right.
Oh, let's see. Broadcast from the boat, Johnny Vroom says. Johnny Vroom's got to call into a show.
Of course. We can broadcast from Johnny
Vroom. Come on, Johnny.
Base business. Sometimes we'll go out on the boat with six people. Five will come
back.
We
can drive the boat to Johnny Vroom's living room.
Take Fredo out for a fish on a fishing trip.
I'm smart.
I can handle things. Oh, listen, let's watch. That's another thing. What are we going to do? I can't
you
play.
You can't even do that?
Clips. Hold on.
What the fuck? All that shit is
already
on
for YouTube.
YouTube.
We're not ready for YouTube.
That's ridiculous. That's a monopoly.
I think YouTube's going to wait.
Dude, we have to do something there. Something consistent. Maybe something that we can neuter. We have to.
Broadcast-wise,
we have to. I mean, first of all, the ZenLive.tv broadcast, the channel, nothing happens there. It has a lot of great stuff over the years. It's an old channel. We have close to 500 subscribers. Yeah. But it's inactive. If we were active in a broadcast sense, I think that our subscribers... I would make a bet that by Thanksgiving... our subscribers may be able to double. Maybe get sniff 1,000. I'd like to see at least. We might be, I mean, be totally off. We might lose subscribers. Who knows?
That's why I try to keep my mouth closed as much as possible.
No, you have to keep talking, man.
Oh, no.
I'll stick a hamburger in there.
If you don't talk, I freak out. Because I start going off. It just keeps accelerating.
That's all right. It's
you got to throw logs in there.
Good to accelerate in life.
Throw a log in the gears, bro.
You know, like the shit I already have, like if I did start a, what is that thing called, Twitter? Like the shit I would put out? Oh, Jesus.
I don't think that Twitter's the place for you right now. Maybe what? In 2011. Twitter is has
or
been
whatever.
Destroyed.
Whatever. I can't do it on Facebook anymore.
No, you can't do Facebook. You can't do Twitter. You might be able to be anonymous on like Tumblr. Or Reddit, something like that.
Tumbleberries.
You can hang out. You can hang out on the 4chan.
You don't want to know.
The Chans. But no, not Twitter. Twitter's
actually
destroyed.
Twitter would be good for him. He has feet wet. His noodle wet.
With what?
A bunch of shit. I got that Jesus account on there. What's it called? I fucking forgot what that account's called.
Your name was...
You said that you were being tough on the negotiations. But if they could get a little help and close the deal fast, it would be good for the family. You believe that, Stone? You believe that? He said there was something in it for me. On my own.
I feel so bad for him.
I was taking care of you.
I really do.
Taking care of me? You're my kid brother and you take care of me? Did you ever think about that? Did you ever once think about that? Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. Send Fredo to pick somebody up at the airport. I'm your older brother, Mike, and I was stepped over.
That's the way Pop wanted it.
It ain't the way I wanted it. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Man, oh, man. John Cazale.
That's... You made a beat for that.
Dude, I mean, oh, you can turn that into a beat.
I already made a beat out of it.
You did?
I showed it to you a while back.
I think.
Well, yeah.
It's actually pretty cool. It's a mafia like style beat. It's
I
pretty
think
sweet.
I actually remember that.
I also have the you know the Godfather that. Dying in the sound effects.
Actually,
playing with the
I
grandson.
Do.
Oh yeah,
I remember that.
It's coffee and shit. It's another hit.
Here's another song, "Midnight in Paris," one of my favorite films.
Never heard of it.
It's a Woody Allen film, but Woody Allen's not in it.
Woody Allen's a boring actor.
Reminds me of Paris.
I got it. You know, for all of his craziness, I really enjoy his movies. I really do.
I don't like his humor.
It's slow developing humor. It's neurotic, and that's just how I am sometimes. I haven't watched one of his films in a long time, but I'll just go on a binge at one point. I'll just watch Hannah and her Sisters is my favorite.
Eating at McDonald's number two. Boom.
Hannah and her whore sisters. Part two.
Okay, hold on. Let's get something else done here. We got a good amount of stuff done in the first 25 minutes, so we needed to take a break. That was some heavy shit. Chat room, have you guys seen Blue Velvet? Yes, I think.
With,
isn't that the new
Caruso?
Oh, wait, no. If that's the newest one, no. Last one I saw was To Rome with Love. Is Blue Velvet with Kate Blanchett?
That's David Caruso, isn't it? It's with the guy who takes the glasses off and is like, oh,
David Caruso?
I think we found our final destination.
Yeah. Fucking, what do you call it?
I got to get some clarity on that.
It's beautiful.
Well,
what was that, Velvet?
I'm going to try to dip back into the chat room every once in a while. You know what? This is a good time to say some thank yous, actually, right now. Because I love... everybody that really that supports this show in even the smallest of ways, whether it's, you know, writing nice things on iTunes, finding it, even if you don't listen to podcasts and you show up every night, just press subscribe. The numbers really count. Thank you so much for all that, because we've got some, we have great internet standing if you look up this show, and it's because the crowd is just so awesome. That's just it. And for everybody who contributes on the Patreon, thank you guys so much. I want to salute my bosses, the ones that actually pay me. Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Lara Veras, Matt Smith, Sean Collins, which actually sounds like, reminds me of Tom Collins.
Well, almost
which
reminds me of Sean a drink. Connery.
Yeah, it's like something I want to go to a bar one night and say, give me the Sean Collins. It's Tom Collins' son. Christian Peppers of the Amatory Murder. Max Ancaparato, our in-house astronomer. And another very, very knowledgeable guy. He's in the chat room right now. Mad Mints, Jackie Milam, a writer friend of mine from Pennsylvania. And Stephanie Klinaki. Stephanie is a new sponsor tonight. She's part of the 1776 Club. She's done a lot of work for us as a network before, and I really want to say thank you to her for being a great, great friend to me personally and the network. It's been fantastic. And she has a new she has a business out now. I'm going to start plugging her.
What kind of business?
It's a she's a fantastic makeup artist. She's done things for all types of occasions and needs kind of creations. I got to show you some of the work. It's brilliant. She posts everything on Facebook and nuts. But very, very talented. She has a lot of freelance work she does in New Jersey area. So I told her it's not too local of an audience, but just be a 1776er because she wanted to sponsor the show, but I couldn't tell her to pick up one of those business packages when she's, you know, working out of New Jersey exclusively, you know?
Pick it up.
Hey, you know what? Start selling eyelashes. Ship them. Drop them. Ship them. Sell the eyelashes. Then you can buy the bigger one. No, I don't want your money. What is this? Spend the money, Stephanie. Spend the money.
What is this?
Start selling eyelashes.
A center for ants? You should send them some chocolate next month.
Going to. Gonna have to. Perry says, can we buy a Zen Live hoodie yet? No, not yet.
Yeah, you can.
Not yet. Or a Quite Frankly t-shirt. That would be awesome if I had a Quite Frankly t-shirt.
Actually, we have all those, dude. Send us the money. When we get to it, we'll get to it.
It just can't be anything with my face on it. I don't ever want to see my face on somebody's chest. I would just...
That's funny.
I would slip into some kind of existential crisis.
Dude, I would get you tattooed on my chest.
I gotta get that shirt.
I'm going to get you tattooed on my chest, bro.
That would be a point of existential crisis for me, to look at myself on a shirt and ask myself, what have I done with my life? What is this? Does this mean?
You would be like,
I look around, I say, what does this mean?
You'd be like Che Guevara. You'd have your own shirt, bro. Just say,
okay. Turn me into a Che Guevara or a caricature. I understand you're going to put the snuffleupagus nose on me. That's fine. Whatever.
Or they just might put the Hitler mustache on one of the shirts you look and dress you up in a Hitler costume on it.
Terrible. Don't say that. Quite frankly, boxers.
Quite frankly, condoms. Should fucking make...
Johnny Vroom says he wants a meme macro. A macro of Frank. No, something like
a pair of boxers and something like a tagline that says I shit on liberals. Some kind of underwear or something for girls.
Where the inside of the boxers, there's somebody you don't like's face. You can put any politician you want on the inside of the boxers where your asshole goes, and you're just shitting. You're sitting on their face the entire day. That's pretty cool. Somebody would buy those. Those are good. That's like Spencer's gift type of ideas.
Absolutely.
People would buy those en masse. You know what I mean? Who wants to put these? See, we have ideas. We're an idea factory over here. We need people that can actually go and do it. Who can do this for us?
Do it. Do it.
You know? We'll just be a community of people who just brand things for sale. It'll be all... We can share the profits. Whoever has the idea...
I'll buy a shirt press machine.
How much is it?
Not that expensive.
We'll break this down. Anybody that ever brings a merchandise idea that actually flies to the table, they should get at least 40% of that one item's sale. They should, at least.
Absolutely.
That's too much. They get 20%.
Michael's a real shark over
here. If they don't like that, they get no percent.
It should be 40% to the person who designed the idea. 30% to the person whose image is being used, if it needs to be.
No, they get no percent either.
I'm no lawyer. I don't do that. You guys, get a lawyer. I don't fucking give a shit.
You should make a shark.
Make them yourself.
No lawyers.
I don't have time for this. See, I was like, why don't you have merchandise? Because then this shit pops up.
We don't need lawyers for that. Lawyers fucking make shit more difficult.
Zen Live Cod Piece. Ed Caparato just said he wants a Zen Live Cod Piece. Zen Live Thong, that'd be great. For Stacy. So Stacy and Perry out there just decked out in Zen Live stuff in the cozy times. It's coming. This is another song I can't do without. Pantera's Planet Caravan. I remember just getting stoned in high school. You know, it was funny. In high school is when we first tried marijuana. And then it was just like a little phase. We did it a lot for a little bit. And then it just went away for about 7 years. Just didn't need it. Whatever. Before we ever tried it again. And, like... All throughout college, I never touched marijuana once. I drank a little bit more and all that shit, and that was it. But even then, I didn't drink.
I never was a big drinker.
But this song, man, this is a great. So this is a great video to watch.
Yeah, I wish I was on PCP or LSD.
You always go 5 steps farther than anything.
That's what this video is made for, dude.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I think when I was tripped when I took it the first time, I think I might have watched this, and I'm pretty sure my jaw was just like, whoa, like it was just amazing. I'm pretty sure, I don't remember though, but I'm pretty sure I did.
If good, then you know what? Then let's just call it. It happened. It definitely happened. From now on, you just tell people that you used to just trip watching this. I believe you. We just.
I know I watched the Vietnam in HD when I was tripping balls, and that was awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
Vietnam, that's just uneasy footage. You know, World War II footage, you see all this stuff going on,
dude,
you kind of feel like, you know...
I still have those pictures, and if anyone that's watching, there are these... I don't even know what the thing is called, maybe I should bring one. There are these little white... things with the little film. It's from the 60s, and they're pictures of the Vietnam War that my father took. And I've seen them when I was young. They're like dead bodies with lime on them. There's the napalm being like right there. My dad's right there, like taking the picture of it. And I need someone to put all that on a DVD. I've been looking for someone to do it for 3 years. I don't know.
You need somebody to scan? You just have to scan it.
I don't know.
You can scan them one by one, or you can bring them to somebody to do it in bulk. I think you can go to like Staples or something like that. Maybe they'll do it for you.
From a negative from 1960.
Oh, you're
whatever.
Talking about negatives. You're gonna. You know,
well, no, it's not even a negative. Actually, it goes into like this projector. Remember, I brought it to the studio. That
8mm.
Time. Maybe. Remember, I brought it to the studio. It was that it had that round cylinder thing on top?
Oh, it's
and
moving.
You pressed
image.
The button and it was yeah.
Oh, that. Yes, you're going to have to see a film professional. I don't know, some kind of somebody that works with film.
It's probably going to be expensive as fuck.
Dude, it'll be worth it. You got to preserve that history.
Dude, I don't, my dad definitely knows. I still have them. I didn't put it back where I got it from. I have them in my room. Hundreds,
hundreds of pictures.
I don't know. You know, when I watch World War II, I think the reason why I'm drawn to watching World War II and learning as much as I can about World War II and politically, culturally, everything, is that it seems like the last war in history with like any real virtue. You know, with like something that unquestionable virtue. Well, unquestionable, I'm talking about.
Supposedly, why we went to Vietnam was for the reason to stop the communists from taking over South Vietnam. Because the South Vietnam didn't want to live under a communist regime. So supposedly that's why we went over there. So that was the...
Right. But there's no way in hell that you'd ever be able to... I mean, it is debated, and it is such a split issue, and it was a war that divided a country and destroyed just a lot of our... the way that the world sees us. First real bad military scar across the face. So it's just like you compare that to watching a World War... What? God, no. Don't make that shirt, please. Don't make that shirt. I will be so embarrassed if that shirt ever gets out. Don't. Please. Whatever you do, just please don't make it happen.
Fucking expensive anyway.
They are?
Yeah, how much? It's like fucking, like, after you're done, it's like $60.
Oh, good. That'll be a good deterrent.
That's cheap.
No, but I am not worth $60.
I would pay $80 for it, bro.
That's it. But as far as World War II goes, it seems like there's just a lot more virtue in the world. Yeah, you know, you're talking about the mid to late 60s, early 70s, mid 70s. There's a lot of cultural upheaval there. We still had there's a little bit more stability in places. And it was one of those things that the world rallied behind. There was enemies. We knew where they were at. We knew who they were. They wore a certain uniform. You know, I mean, it was something you can rally behind. And like, even when you watch the movie, these films, these destruction and death and whatever.
I know, it's sad.
There's a certain type of glow around it.
I look like in the obituaries, and there's at least 3 or 4 World War II veterans in there every day. And that's just around this area, so that's, you know, throughout the country. Imagine how many of them are dying every day right now, just from old age.
You know, I was
and
talking
about... And that's it, they're all going to be gone.
I was talking with Lauren last night as we were going off to pick up dinner. And we brought up that whole point of... You remember that analysis that was done a couple of months ago? We brought up on one of some of these broadcasts talking about 90s kids and why they're so nostalgic that we listened to on air. And pretty much the conclusion was, and it's just so spot on. At least for me, if you think something differently, call in. Of course, you don't need a reason to call in. Is that we really grew up and we were really conscious for the first time of our surroundings in the 90s. That entire decade there. The last real decade of what could be considered the good times pre-9/11. You know, the last bits of the old world were still, you know, you can see them there. We were raised by the greatest generation. We had a lot of perspective between, you know, of what the old world was like. You know, we didn't live it out, but we were raised by those people. And of course, you know, you just had all the economic strength, and everybody was flying high. And then you have surveillance. And you have homeland security, and you have economic instability, and you have terrorism, and you have destabilization, and, you know, a lot of real shit. That was a violent change. Yeah. You know, it was like a real violent birth. You know, a birth where the child kills the mother. You know? So it is one of those things I do get a lot nostalgic for those reasons. because I, if you guys feel the same, I know you feel the same, man. We're just pretty much talking about it. And to think that right now we're in a phase where we have to say goodbye to the last parts of those generations. That's the tough part. You know, it's really going to take a renaissance. A new renaissance is going to have to happen. There's going to have to be some kind of a planting of a really good seed in a new generation that's going to have to happen. Grow.
Our generation needs to do it then, because what's after this generation, bro? No one's going to remember their
dude. Our generation is the one.
Or anything, you know what I mean?
I guess so.
I mean,
we're about to really take control. We haven't really taken control yet. We're still in our early 30s. So, I don't know. That's just something I think about. All right, so it's 8 o'clock. We're gonna
Frank, you know what I think about, Frank?
What?
Look at the hat.
Oh, don't. Make America great again? Is that what it says? No.
Yeah, you want to show it?
Go ahead. He's superimposed. I'll make a fan. Ridiculous.
That's a cool shirt.
That's
terrible.
Who wants
to buy it?
That was horrible. This is a terrible idea.
It's funny just to make a goof shirt. If people just walk around with a goof shirt, be like, "God, it's a pretty cool shirt. Where'd you get it from?" And people get tuned in because you're like, "That's a weird fucking shirt."
Hold on a second.
You catch people's interest with that shit. I'm telling you, bro. Science, bro. Science, social media.
What did I not cover tonight? Oh, so much. So much, but we got tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we got Maj Touré from Black Guns Matter. He's coming on the show for 7:10. So get here early because he's going to be on the show. That's going to be great. Can't wait to talk about that, especially with everything. Didn't really want to talk too much about what's going on the street because, you know what, we're going to have Maj on tomorrow, who's a very, very fair thinker. You know, he knows what time it is, and he knows what the culture here should be. What the Constitution is about. He's embracing that in many ways. And if you want to see somebody start really making change that affects people racially in positive ways, if you want to really see things eased, is when people grasp the philosophy behind the Constitution and try to affect change through that kind of knowledge. And that kind of intellectual approach, instead of low information, wind us up, set us loose, and let's burn down a town type of an approach. You can be angry, you can be passionate, but you can cut to the core of a problem. And that is the real dangerous person. That's a real dangerous person to an establishment. That's a person who can get things done. And doesn't have to, it's not just part of some cheap hashtag movement, just reciting things they heard, learning new adjectives and adverbs and just throwing them out there, isms and phobias. No, somebody who can see a problem, who can diagnose it, who knows that it affects this person or another, but is not going to get riled up and is actually going to approach it in a way, oh man, that is real. That's real inspiring right there. That's inspiring. Everybody fighting with each other, they got nothing. They're not going to get anything that they want. They're going to get status quo. They're going to be fed the shit. It's the people who are going against the grain. Those are the ones. Those are the dangerous ones. Nobody cares about the mobs in the street. Those people can be put down. They can be baited to be put down. Okay? Remember, they're protesting the same government, the same forces that they're also asking to enforce other laws. And try to enact other things like minimum wage, okay? That's what's being. It's a fighting and a sucking at the same time. It's the most remarkable thing, what's being done to the human psyche in this country. Remarkable. It's unfortunate, but it is remarkable. All right, until tomorrow, everybody. Talk to you guys soon. I thought it was a good show. Can't wait to get this on the podcast tonight. Please. Subscribe, like, share, all that stuff. You guys are really a part of this show. It's your show, too. You know that anytime you call in, you know, unless we're getting deluged with calls, you guys can stay on for as long as you're making points and we're all having a nice conversation. It's your show, too. So help me get it out there. Be well, guys. Take care.